If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius was grilled this morning by Republican lawmakers upset with the poor rollout of the new health care law. House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Fred Upton asked Sebelius whether President Obama intentionally misled the public when he said on numerous occasions that those who like their health insurance would be able to keep it.
Why was that change made, and did the president know it?
Sebelius replied that insurance companies cancel policies year-end and year-out. That prompted Tennessee Republican Marsha Blackburn to take a hard swing at the secretary.
Some people like to drive a Ford, not a Ferrari, and some people like to drink out of a red Solo cup, not a crystal stem. You're taking away their choice.
Texas Republican Joe Barton followed up by telling Sebelius that she isn't in Kansas anymore, a reference to the secretary's time as governor of that state. It's likely, however, that Sebelius wished she was anywhere but in that hearing room today. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Well, welcome to the Wednesday night, October 30th, 2013 edition of Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along this evening. Obviously, I made a mistake because my intro music was not included. Well, it's a big night anyway. You know, this is the second anniversary of our small company's initial efforts in this realm. Back on October 30th, 2011, my friend Michael Smith rolled out something called Cane Nation Texas Radio. And that became ConservativeNationRadio.org, which has become Conservative Nation Media Incorporated. And we're going to have quite a few of our friends on tonight. So I think it's going to be a very, very good show. 718-305-7176 is the number here. I did have a little bit of trouble getting things to kick off correctly in BTR, but, you know, here we all are, and thanks very much for being along. Chat room is open for business. If you're listening live, if you're listening on podcast, just go ahead and ignore that. You can't ignore that goofy Kathleen Sebelius was on Capitol Hill today, as we just heard in the news service. Incidentally, this is going to be the last time that you will hear Talk Radio News Service at the top of the hour of the first hour of each of our shows here. That begin at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on conservativemedia.com. Talk Radio News Service is going to be moving to the top of the second hour, and that will begin this Friday, first on Kathy Hinner's program, Daily Roll Call, and on Monday with Dave Vance, and on Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern with Sam Thurman on A Just Cause. Wednesday, me, next week. And then Thursday, we've got with Victoria Bingham. We'll start next Thursday, on conservativenationmedia.com at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central, and then at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, Matthew Opalisky and the Liberty and Constitutional Community right here on conservativenationmedia.com. All that rolls out next Thursday. It's going to be really tremendous, and I hope you're going to be around for that. But Victoria's show, Talk Radio News Service. Anyway, bottom line is Monday through Friday, Talk Radio News Service will now air at the beginning of the second hour. And, of course, not on weekends, and only once a day. You know, I want the news to be as fresh as possible, and I think Jeff does a great job of getting that to us. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. That Kathleen Sebelius, you know, there's something about that woman. She just has a look of absolute arrogance about her, and this idea that what's going on in this country is the right way to go because it is what the leftists believe is a self-evident truth, you know, from the so-called great truths about mankind, which is that it is the job to take care. It's going to be disastrous for the economy. It's going to be disastrous for baby boomers a scant 5 to 15 years from now. Will be health care and hospitals long-term. You know, we're all going to leave here one day. I mean, seriously. Nobody if you're alive. We're all going to leave here one day, no question about that. And they are going to be leaving sooner than they would if there were not Obamacare. And the reason that that's going to happen, primarily because the demand for medical care is going to go up, and the supply of people that can provide the care is going to remain the same. It's not going to go up as much as the demand for it will. There's no question about it. That is just what happens when you think that you can somehow just sort of, you know, figure a way around the laws of supply and demand. Whoa, you cannot skirt the laws of supply, but you can't do it. Even in communist countries, there is still a law of supply and demand, and it just cannot be broken. It can't be outsmarted. The people that understand it can not be outsmarted. If you understand it really well, you will always have, like, you know, a lot of money and all, you know. Anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number here. And this is what Secretary Sebelius and her friends in the White House are trying to do. They just want to, they think they have come up with a way to skirt the laws of supply and demand. Can't be done. Can't be done. You know, even in Russia, the Russian police spent the majority of their time trying to track down what were known over there as economic crimes. In other words, if you began behaving in any way like it was a supply and demand economy, the way ours is, or the way ours should be, you could be put in jail. You know, if there was a scarcity of something, and you were able to get a hold of a valuable commodity over there, like gasoline, which they call benzene. That's a different chemical in England and the United States. They call it benzene. Okay. And it was in the 1980s, it was very hard to get gasoline in most parts of Russia. And people that would get a hold of it would be selling it by the side of the road and, you know, in tunnels, famously depicted in that Robin Williams movie, Moscow on the Hudson, which was a pretty good movie. I liked it. You know, those people would get in very serious trouble. But I guess they were trying to feed their families or something. You know, I think that that's a reasonable thing to do, don't you? 718-305-7176 is the number. And as I mentioned, this is our 2-year anniversary. I don't have any, you know, incredible pieces of audio such as, you know, oh, here's the time that Michael Smith interviewed Rick Perry and Ted Cruz and Alan West in the same, you know, sorry, I don't have anything like that. We may have something like that one day. You never know. I mean, we're getting bigger. Absolutely no question about it. We are getting bigger. And one day, you know, all those people are going to be clamoring to get on our show. Get on this network. That's they're going to buy. Guarantee you. I'm certain of it. 718-305-7176 is the number. The fall is here. You know, the autumn is here, no question about it. Here in coastal Delaware in the mid-Atlantic, it was cold and kind of wet and rainy today. I mean, it's the autumn, no question. It's supposed to warm up again, which would be great. That's not, you know, a lot of people, it's supposed to get up to like 72 or something tomorrow around here. Very nice, you know, very nice. Summertime. I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's Indian summer. No, it is not Indian summer. It is Indian summer when it gets above 70 and when it has already gone below freezing. So if we get some night coming up, you know, next week or something, when it gets down to 30 or 31 degrees or something like that in this region, and then within a few days if it goes up above 70, that would be Indian summer. Indian summer doesn't just mean, oh, it's kind of warm, you know, in the fall. The definitions of it are a lot more specific than that. I've got meteorologist friends, you know. I've got friends that are weather geeks. And they understand these definitions, you know, no question about it. 718-776, I don't know about you, I'm just very, very worried about that. And I'm kind of worried about, you know, what my own end-of-life scenario is going to be. Is it going to be that, you know, I'm in a hospital somewhere with some form of organ, who knows, and it's something that could easily be taken care of, but because of the Obamacare death panels, I'm not going to get the care that I need to extend my life? Is that basically what it's going to be? That apparently is in everybody's future. Speaking of the future, by the way, Monday, which would be on November 4th, that is in the future from tonight anyway. And we start off the work week every Monday in a very big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. What a great guy. Now, even if you do not live inside the Volunteer State, there are issues there that affect Tennessee, and they are spreading out all over the United States. They are, you know, if you see things in Tennessee now, especially about these Mohammedans, you're going to see it in your own neighborhood next. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check it out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I am just so tired of living with the liberal media all the time. And they're, you know, they, as far as they're concerned, we're the, America's the bad guy. America's the bad guy as far as the liberal media is concerned. There isn't any question about it. Come on now. We are about 13 and a half minutes after the top of the hour here at Radio Free America. Very worried about the Obamacare situation. I'm sure you are as well. 718-305-7176. I see you chat room lurkers in there. I see you people in there. You know, we are getting bigger here at Radio Free America, and we are now doing 9 shows a week. By 1 week from tomorrow, we will be doing 11 shows a week. And incidentally, if you are a Internet talk radio listener, and you think that you might want to try hosting a show, you can go ahead and send me an email, duke@conservativenationmedia.com. I'll talk to you. You know, no guarantees. There have been some, you know, I mentioned this is our second anniversary. A lot has happened in 2 years. I've been with this company for just under 1 year. So they're, you know, a lot of things happened before I got here. We are adding new shows. I have no problem with putting somebody on the air who is not a, you know, experienced radio person. That's fine. If the person's good, you know, if you're good. We have some of the best shows on the internet right now for conservative talk, no question about it. I don't know if you have yet had the opportunity to listen to our Tuesday night lineup, which is A Just Cause with Sam Thurmond. What a fascinating program that is. Sam Thurmond, Cliff Stewart, and Ethel Lopez, I believe her name is. Olivia Hodge is connected with that show, but she is not on there. She probably could be, probably should be. But A Just Cause, what a great program. You know, we like to think in this country, and I think to a large extent, rightly so, that our justice system is the best one in the world. I don't have any question about that. I mean, you know, if you're a person accused of crime in this country, you have rights in this country that you do not have in other countries, that is for sure. And that is why our system is the most respected and admired one in the world. That does not mean that the system is perfect. It is not perfect. No system devised by human beings can ever be perfect because no human beings are perfect. So A Just Cause actually explores some of the sometimes innocent people get convicted, and that's what A Just Cause is all about. I will be right back. We're going to take a brief break, and then more of your calls and more from our gang of good guys here at conservativenationmedia.com on this, our company's second anniversary. Stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3:00 in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over 1 million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along on this, the Wednesday, October 30th edition of Radio Free America, the second anniversary of ConservativeNationMedia.com. Actually, it was called something else in the old days, 2 years ago. And Michael B. Smith founded the company. Michael should be Michael, like everybody else, has a wife and a family, and they play a lot of baseball, a lot of youth baseball in Texas. And if you have kids and they are playing, you know, look, at the end of the day, family comes first. I mean, seriously, family comes first. Everybody understands. We're conservatives, so for us, family comes first. I have college. We don't speak all that much anymore, but we were very good friends in college. She has a daughter. Actually, I think she's got two daughters and a son or something. I spoke with her earlier this year, I guess. It's been over a year ago, I think, was the last time that she and I just had the opportunity to chat. And basically, she was going to a meeting of her Maryland County's Democrat Central Committee in the county. She was going to a meeting of the liberal caucus, the progressive caucus of her county's Democrat committee. And speaking with her on the phone, I was like, well, you know what? I really don't think I want to talk to you about that. But so anyway, how are the kids? And then basically, you know, the next thing was that she was going to leave her child outside of school, and the child was going to basically have to sit there for a couple of hours while this friend of mine went to this political meeting, and that indicated to me how the liberal Democrats, things come from their family, and politics is one of them. Now then, speaking of programs on conservative nation media, I've got Uncle Bing here, the Bingmeister, hope of America, by, host of America by Design. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great, Duke. How are you doing, man? It sounds like you got a little bit of static on there, but, you know, it's Blog Talk Radio for you, you know.
Well,
and it could be just on my end, too.
A lot of people think I'm nothing but static. So, you know, that could be the cause of it. But, yeah, you've been with this company since way before me. Tell us a couple of things about how this all came about, because I don't know all the ins and outs.
No, as far as my my deal with this company is that Michael asked me, hey, would you like to co-host a show with me? You know, and we became Facebook friends, that kind of stuff. And we were actively involved in politics and, you know, especially with the child tragedy and that sort of thing. And I said, I guess I'll try it, you know. And he kind of snookered me in and, you know, I got hooked and, you know, I've already at that point was an established talk radio junkie, but, you know, not in Blog Talk Radio. It was on, you know, the national scene, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I was always looking at, you know, maybe doing something along these lines. So just it worked out pretty good. And for me and Michael had a pretty good rapport, and we were able to land some really good guests. I mean, I look back at the guest we had, Duke, and it was just phenomenal, some of them, in my opinion, anyways.
Well, give me some examples.
Well, Harmon Caslow, co-director of Atlas Shrugged. I mean, that came out of the blue to me. I mean,
He was the producer.
Yes, well, co-producer, yeah. And he's one of the co-producers of that, and I worked on him, and actually what I did was I not worked on him. I just looked around and found out who was handling his calls, you know, in marketing, that kind of thing. And I emailed her and said, you know, would you like to be on the show? And she emailed me back, and they've been a regular now. They've been on our shows for three times. And he'll be on our show again when they release the last installment of Atlas Shrugged, which if you don't know, if you haven't seen the movies, they're great movies. I really like them, all three of them.
I've seen both of them. I've seen them both. I thought the first one was dramatically better than the second one. And, you know, apparently the second one, sadly, did not make an awful lot of money, but they're going to go ahead and make a third one anyway, correct?
Yeah, and the first, well, all of them, actually, they've been putting up their own money for this, so...
Yeah,
that to me was one of the surprising interviews, you know, because it to me, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not in this business for interviews all the time, you know. I mean, of course, it's great to have guests on, but I'm not doing it for that. Also, I you know my local state rep here, Joe Carr. Out of Tennessee. I mean, we had him on a weekly show doing the Tennessee Wrap of the Tennessee State Legislature every week. And that turned out real well. And now he's running against Lamar Alexander for U.S. State Senate in Tennessee. It's amazing, you know, what one door will open another door, you know. One of the funniest interviews I've ever done was with Nick Searson from Justify. That was me and Michael could not keep from not laughing. Nick Searson was going, he was an international film star and movie producer and all that. And I said, he said something about the Peabody Award. And I remember I said at one point in our discussion, I said, who was the guy? Now I had a brain fart here. Who was the guy with Peabody? Sherman. I said, did you win the Sherman Award too? You know? Uh-huh. And he said, hey, I do the jokes on this show, you know. And, it was just a great, the audio did not come out that good because of Blog Talk, but it was just a funny, good time, man. So, yeah, it's been, you know, out of all the people that, you know, that we've had on, it's just tons of people, and the regular people are what really I like to interview. That's the people that I call regular people, like, you know, just me and you, everybody, everyday people, you know.
Possibly the everyday people, the ones that are supposed to make a difference. Sadly, a lot of everyday people just not paid attention. You know, to what is going on in the country, and unfortunately not enough people vote, and the ones who do are not really paying attention and not support. Maybe we can do something about that on a small scale. What do you think?
Yeah, there's like real bad static on the line, Duke, so I heard a little bit of what you were talking about. I don't want to make presumptions about what you were talking about, but...
I just mentioned that probably not enough people are involved in the process, and very often the ones that are, who do vote regularly, are not very well informed. There are a lot of people out there. We can do something about that in a small way here at the company.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you know, I asked somebody the other day what a low information voter was, and, you know, they explained to me, but I don't like using that term, you know. I just think that there are Americans out there that are confused and that need, and it doesn't have to come from us. It has to come from their peers, their mentors, and their mentors and peers might not be us, they might be us, but it has to come from somebody. They need to get some education and knowledge, and it's not coming from mainstream media. And, you know, if I could do anything, it would be to cut ties with mainstream media and introduce more of this type of venue.
Mainstream media is basically guilty of institutionalized bias. And institutionalized basically sympathy for the left. You know, that's basically what they're all about. And once the internet and once syndicated national talk radio came on the scene, and once Fox News launched, those guys were in high dudgeon. I've got to take a break now. Can you hang in there with me for a few more minutes?
I sure can. If you can fix that static problem, I'd be a lot more willing.
Well, I should think about that. Who knows? You know, I really don't know what to do with static. I can do. Now, let us assume for the moment that if you're listening to me right now, that you are probably a conservative. That means that you love our country and our Constitution just like we do. And you don't want to get caught short in these leftist government in D.C. drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. If that is the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. Your pipeline of those essentials is right here at conservativenationradio.org, conservativenationmedia.com. Go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency supplies needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds right now. ConservativeNationMedia.com. Click on the Patriot Depot banner. Join the conservative revolution. We are America always wins. More with Bing Fisher on our second anniversary here at ConservativeNationMedia.com. After this, don't go away.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Radio America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. About into our second anniversary special, Big Fisher Mayor. Very wise time. Is Tiffany Bing? How you doing?
I'm doing better. I'm doing better. Beatles songs, man. Can you name the next verse to that? I am he and you are me and we are. He and we are all together.
And we are all together.
A
pigs from a gun.
Music
is very hitting on the Eiffel Tower. How many of us have ever had kind of a backing on the band that the Beatles would have gotten together again? Obviously, this and they would have held a reunion concert that much in the entire world.
Yeah, it's. I remember exactly. You see, my favorite Duke was John Lennon. That was my favorite because I thought he added the intellectualism of the Beatles. I think Paul McCartney would. I mean, all of them were actually very good. But Paul McCartney was the lover guy, the emotionalist. George Harrison, of course, was off into his own thing and the very creative person. And then Ringo Starr was like the guy that, hey man, I hitched a ride on something that you know, I've seen Ringo Starr in concerts with his all star band, and it is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, his son Zach is just a great drummer. I've seen him in Florida 2 times, and but music is a big part of what we do. You know, there's bumper music, there's outro music, there's intro music, there's things that we have to clip together. There's a lot of stuff that goes into making a show, you know. And I don't know if people that listen to it, that tune into it, they don't know some of the frustration that we have, like, you know, that you might be having right now. But, I mean, there's a lot that goes into a show other than, because we don't have a vast staff. We don't have a big time staff that's helping us out. So sometimes there's some days that happen a lot better than others, you know. And we just have to take it in stride because that's the medium that we work in right now.
Well, you're right about all that. And we do not have a big, huge staff here. We only have 48 people? You know, the bigger companies have thousands of people, but no, seriously, we really don't have a staff thing. Sometimes I feel like you and I are it, you know?
Yeah, but about see, it. Right now, I mean, static is gone. You're sounding great, you know, groovy. But what I'm trying to say is, I guess to relate to the other people out there, that they're, you know, I mean, you know, doing these shows is not really that easy, you know? It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of research, takes a lot of prep, takes a lot of other things, and sometimes there's some things that are out of our control that we really can't handle, you know. Sometimes everything goes off without a hitch, and we sound just groovy, you know, just great.
Correct. That is correct. And a lot of people listen to American by Design. I know this because I have access to the ratings. But how did you come up? You are an engineer. How did you come up with the name American by Design? I know a lot of people are curious about that, so fill us in.
Well, because I'm an American, I'm an American by the design of my creators. My creators created this great country. I mean, gave us everything that we wanted to. They created men that came over and women that came over that landed on Plymouth Rock and so on. That founded this country, that developed the country, that gave us the founding fathers, that gave us a constitution. God gave us a constitution to live by. And I am an American by the design of people. And what I mean by design is that the creation, I guess it would be, the engineering of people that came before me. And of the creator that came before me. So I am an American by the design of others. I'm here for a reason. So I can't put that reason on hold. I can't put it on the back burner anymore. I can't shovel it under dirt and hope that it won't come up to bite me. No, I have to put it out there in the open. I am a creation of God. It is a creator of America, of our world, that is a creator of men, that created a constitution, that created or design the fact that I could live in this. And that's where I'm coming from. And that might seem like a heady kind of explanation to you. I don't think it is. I think it makes perfect sense. I'm here for a reason. You're here for a reason. Everybody in the listening audience right now is here for a reason. There are some people that are here as a lesion, but we're here for a reason, and we have to make every day count. We have to stand for them. We have to make every day count. And that's what American Design is. That's what we're about.
Was it your parents or your grandparents that came over from Germany?
It was my father. My father escaped from East Germany to come over here while they were trying to recruit for the Wolfgang and all that kind of stuff over there, which was the Hitler Youth Camp, which is basically going to be the Obama Youth Camp here, if you take history into account as far as what is going on today, which is scary. This is scary. This is very scary what's going on today.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was my dad. He came from East Germany. He had to get a sponsor. He had to go through all the red tape. It took him years to come over here. He had to learn language. He had to learn civics. He had to go to school, night school. He had to learn history, civics, English language. We were not allowed to speak German while we were growing up as kids because he wanted to learn English.
So
that was the mentality back then. Pardon me?
Can you speak German now?
I can understand it better than what I can speak it. Ich verstehe, because we weren't allowed, and I never took it at school, we weren't allowed to do that, you know. It was just my dad's thing, you know, and that was cool to me. I remember him going through all this stuff just to get his citizenship. Nowadays, we just let people in and we just, you know, give it to them. And he did not take welfare. We were not living on a government dole, you know. And that's the way it was when I grew up. And when I grew up, if I got in trouble, by God, it wasn't just my parents. My parents were the last ones I had to fear, you know. They were the last in line, you know. I had to fear everybody else. It was, you know, my neighbors that would lead me by the ear to the house for my mom and for my dad to chastise me and punish me. And it's totally different right now, Duke. It's just totally different. This country has got no leader. We've got nobody to look up to that's strong, that actually has, you know, that actually will take responsibility. You cannot tell me that out of all of these scandals and everything, that this guy did not know about any of them. Any of them.
No, I didn't know about it.
That's obvious. No, not me. Not me. Now look, you know, somebody, you know, Judge Napolitano, if you got a second real quick, he brought up something very cogent the other day, and I was thinking about it. If Obama didn't know about the NSA listening into Merkel's comments, the Chancellor of Germany, then he's either very grossly inept or something else is going on, because what happens when he calls Chancellor Merkel on the cell phone? NSA is spying on him, aren't they?
Well, one would think about that. There are just some people, no matter what kind of government, there's just going to be some people that just have this drive to keep an eye on everybody else. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those people get roles in government, but you and I have too much in common. You and I have an awful lot in common, and one of them is that we both love conservative internet radio. So we already knew, and if you're like us, you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years, and now she is right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news, and conservative analysis with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun thrown in for good measure. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I've got a feeling we're going to be hearing from that Jennifer Meadows in a little while, Bing, and I don't need a postcard. However, I think, you know, people that have come from countries like East Germany and other authoritarian, totalitarian countries, they must be looking at what is happening in America now and thinking, good grief, these people are moving backwards. They're moving into darkness that we tried to escape from. Is that an idea that your dad has expressed?
Oh, yeah, he hated communists. He hated socialists. I remember when we went back to East Germany, okay, the first time we went there. It was me and my brother, two of my brothers, my father. We went back to Sachsenburg, East Germany, which is, you know, a town that my dad came from. And we were the first Americans. This was back during Jimmy Carter. What was it, 70, Duke, help me out here, 76, 70. Something like that, 78. And we went back there. We were the first Americans to go back to East Germany. They'd never, since the occupation in the 40s, they'd never seen Americans. And the hassle of going through customs and you know, and not even, it wasn't even customs, okay? And it was, you know, getting body cavity searched. It was getting your car searched, you know, to get in, and then going out was even worse because, see, they don't want, it was hard enough to get in with the message that we had, okay, and it was so fun to interact with the German people, the East German people there that didn't know, they wanted to know about Jimmy Carter. They could not understand why this guy was even president. And I think Jimmy Carter was I wouldn't say an all right president or anything. I mean, economically, he was a mess. But I think he was probably a nice guy. But the rabbit thing in the boat, that kind of scared me a little bit, you know. But anyways, these people were asking us questions, serious questions about what are you guys – this was back then. What are you guys doing? What are you doing electing this guy, you know? And I'm having to sit there and side with – or not side because – you know, I'm going, I don't know, dude. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But it was a great time, and it was great to be there. But it was fantastically sad to see how they treated their own people. See, they don't care about you coming in so much as they care about you going out. Because you going right. out, you can tell other people what you've seen.
That's right.
What you've seen there. And when you get into Germany back then, it was you had to spend 85 Deutschmarks to get monopoly money. It was printed off like on a mimeograph thing. And it was worthless. A U.S. dollar back then was worth, I think, 3 Deutschmarks. You could get anything. And we did. We got a lot with American money, but... You know, it's not the same anymore. The world's changed. People don't respect us. And my dad feared this, you know, because it was communism and it was fascism, actually, at that point that he was trying to escape.
Same thing.
And I'm glad he did because I would not be here.
I'm glad he did, too. Bing, thanks for being with me tonight. Just a quick break and then hear from Sam Thurman, but I can't wait to listen to you, as I always do, on Sunday, American by Design, on conservativenationmedia.com with Bing Fisher, and it comes at you at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Central. Thank you, my buddy.
Hey, thank you. We got Ed Moser on, too, this weekend. So
fantastic. Can't wait to hear it. Have a great one. Thank you, my friend. All righty. Now, a quick break, and then Sam Thurman from A Just Cause Coast to Coast will be joining us, so stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead, many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road by a traveler's
way. It's ABC.com. Brooks here, and thank you, Sam Thurman, the host of Just Cause Coast to Coast Tuesday nights, 8 Eastern Central. Sam, welcome aboard, my buddy. How you doing, pal?
Good, Duke. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, and that was the show that was on, and Ethel, a Just Cause, and there are more people in this room that have been exonerated. In other words, they have been, and I think more people would like to consider. What do you think?
Well, and Duke, the line's breaking up just a little bit, but yeah, as far as the Just Cause Coast to Coast, yeah, we're talking to and finding out that a lot of folks are finding themselves on the wrong end of justice. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about on a Just Cause Coast to Coast is bringing awareness, information, and education about judicial injustice.
Well, it's got to be a nightmare. It's something that you didn't use. And your main clients are a group of guys called IRP. Why don't you tell us a little bit about them and what the status of their case is right now?
Yeah, IRP6, they're six IT professionals. They had a company called IRP Solutions, and the gentlemen were developing software that would allow the federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies across the board to share and collaborate information. And unfortunately, they found themselves in a situation where they were accused of being involved in a scam or a scheme. And that is nothing further from the truth on that. And so that's one of the things that a Just Cause is fighting for, is to reveal the truth in this case, even right from the point of when the FBI raided their business in 2005. It was just a terrible situation that just went from bad to worse. And had a situation even right now where Duke, they have 200 pages of a transcript that's missing which would substantiate the fact that their Fifth Amendment was violated. And so currently they are sitting in prison. They've been in prison for 14 months, and so we're fighting to help get them exonerated.
That must be absolutely horrible. And what would be the next step? Have you filed a petition for a new trial? What exactly is the next step you're going to do on their behalf?
Well, a just cause is we have the attorney out of Los Angeles, California, Mark Garagos, has joined our team along with an attorney out of Denver by the name of Cornell Johnson. And we are actually suing the court reporter in the Denver federal court system by the name of Darlene Martinez, and as well as the judge that was involved is a federal judge, Christine Arguello. And Mark and Cornell are suing for that transcript, and we know that the release that transcript, then that will be the basis for helping the appellate attorney solve
Well, it sounds like a very somewhat daunting and however worthwhile. I mean, getting innocent people out of prison. If I understand some things about this case correctly, there has been not only blatant misconduct by the prosecutors, but also by the judge in this case. Is that about right?
That is absolutely correct. The gentleman, they ended up representing themselves pro se because of the fact that the court-appointed attorneys were not doing the due diligence as far as putting together a valid strategy, you know, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we firmly believe that there are a lot of very credible and very capable and very diligent attorneys in the career field. But in this case, the judge... she ran a slanted courtroom in the sense that she held the guys to a higher standard because they were there defending themselves. And by the way, they did an excellent job of defending themselves. So first off, the judge should have recused herself because of her connections with another case that was related, and then because of her connections with a law firm that was involved in the case, and she refused to recuse herself. So that was another basis for appeal.
Well, I certainly hope that the IR-6 will be exonerated. I hope that they will be compensated for the amount of time that they have What kind of terms? You mentioned they've been in for 14 months. What terms were they originally sentenced to and when?
This sentence range from 7 to 11 years. And, you know, even that is for everyone that looks at this case, they say, man, that is really, really over the top. When they reported to prison, there were other prisoners there who asked, you know, did you guys kill someone? It's like, how do you get 11 years being convicted of mail and wire fraud and conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud? Now, we say they were convicted of that, but it's not we say they were wrongly convicted of that.
It's one of those things that none of us really want to admit actually happens in our country. We do have a caller right now. Sam, let's see who's with us. You are on Radio Free America.
Hey, Duke. It's Jennifer Meadows. How's it going this evening?
Hey, Jennifer. I did not recognize that number. Let me finish up with Sam here, and I'm going to put you on hold, and we are going to be right back with Jennifer. Sam, thanks for being with us tonight, buddy. I look forward to next Tuesday night's edition of Just Cause Coast to Coast with Sam Thurman and Chris Stewart at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central. That will be an hour. The times are the same. We do have daylight.
Okay,
Jim,
thank you very much. And congratulations on your anniversary.
Thanks very much, pal. Always a pleasure to hear from Sam. And we are coming up now on the top of the hour. We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, Jennifer is with us. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't.
What?
You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. And that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hour number 2 of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. This is the second anniversary edition of our company's efforts. And welcome back, Jennifer Meadows, the host of Grit and Grace. Jennifer, are you still there? Well, we're going to have to, I'm sorry about that. That was either a Skype or a BTR glitch, and that kind of thing happens once in a while. But I hope that Jennifer will reconnect with us. She is the host of Grit and Grace, which is a wonderful show. What a lot of fun. You know, you do American radio, you are going to have to somehow get a Southern Belle there. And Jennifer is, in fact, our local Southern Belle. I don't know what happened right then, but I'm glad you're back with me again. How's it going?
Going pretty well. I know. I lost you there for a second.
I think that was BTR's fault.
I think so. Yeah, there's I can hear all the statics. If I'm not answering, you'll know why, because it's in my ear there. But did want to wish Conservative Nation Media happy 2-year anniversary.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being a part of it. You are one of the people, I think, that's going to help take our company to the next level. What do you have planned for the upcoming edition of Grit and Grace?
Well, we do have we have had some changes here in the last week or so. Well, we've got big plans for the show, and definitely big plans for being with Conservative Nation Media. And I tell you, just talking about this network, what I love about being on Conservative Nation Media is Duke brings the real radio to the internet. So I really like that. It's a little different from all the other blog talk shows I've been a part of. So I think that's going to attract bigger names in the industry, conservatives and politicians and that kind of thing. So we're definitely looking for a big rest of the year on through the holidays and on into next year for sure.
South like you do, speaking of the holidays, you don't get very much snow down there, do you?
No, we really don't. Memphis, I'm actually in Oxford, Mississippi. It's home of the Ole Miss Rebels. Go Rebels. But we're about an hour and a half south of Memphis, and Memphis seems to get all the snow. We don't get a lot of snow here. We get maybe a snow a year, something like that. I think we got a bad connection here, Duke. I can hear just barely. Appreciate you having me on the show.
10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Rick and Grace.
Thank you. Thanks, Duke.
Bye-bye. All right. Always a pleasure to speak with Jennifer. She runs a terrific program. And if you us, and by that I mean if you think America is moving in the wrong direction, Brit and Grace, no more conservatives here. You know, we're all conservatives. I mean, that's what we're called, conservatives. Coming up on 2 minutes after the hour, we are in the second hour of this edition of Radio Free America, the last one in the month of October. Time is going so quickly. It's moving so fast. It seems that there's, you know, basically no time to really do that much of anything anymore. Maybe it's Obama's fault. I don't know. Maybe there are liberals out there that say, it's Bush's fault. Everything is Bush's fault. Even today, you get these people on TV, Democrat strategists call once, whatever, and they are still blaming Bush. 5 years later, unbelievable. They are still blaming Bush. If they're going to do that, why not blame Senator A. Arthur? You know, why not William Howard Taft, Big Bill? Why don't they reach back and blame Abraham Lincoln? No comment. Whether you know, get my point. We are coming up on about 9 minutes now into the hour. 785-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativemedia.com, where America always wins. Actually, we have a caller, so why don't we go ahead, take this call. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this? You're on the air, sir or ma'am. I wonder who that
is.
Hi,
Duke.
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Kathy Hinners.
Kathy, what are you doing calling from an unrecognized Skype?
I thought I would try this and see if I could.
Okay, I got you. All right. Kathy Hinners, a phenomenal show that is on radio on legendsmedia.com called Daily Roll Call, Friday nights, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And Kathy, tell us a little bit about what Daily Roll Call is. We'll try your website as well. You've got a website, so fill us in on those things.
Okay. I've had the website dailyrollcall.com for a little over a year, and that main purpose is to it started out letting Tennesseans, and specifically law enforcement, know what was going on within their state. Daily Roll Call, the show Daily Roll Call, is also geared a little bit towards law enforcement, but it again is letting the citizens of our country know what is happening specifically in the areas of the Islamists and how they've rooted themselves within our country. And this week's guest, we're going to have a launch of a new website for law enforcement. We're going to have Guy Rogers, who's the executive director of Act for America, on to launch that website. And then a gentleman by the name of Brian Morrow, who is an expert on Islam and radical Muslims in this country. And he's going to be joining us this Friday as well. So it really is about keeping people on top of the latest issues regarding the indoctrination and infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood. And happy anniversary, by the way.
I've been with this company for a year, but I think we have a tremendous future ahead of us, and certainly part of it. Now, you were a police officer for most of your career, correct?
That's correct. Yep, 20 years.
And how did you do that?
I'm sorry, Duke. How was what? I love being a cop. It's a career that suited me very well, and it was a difficult decision to retire, but I stayed basically in the realm of law enforcement because I still instruct law enforcement across the country. So I still keep my hand in it a little bit, but every once in a while, you know, when I see a police car rushing by, lights and sirens, you get that rush of adrenaline again, wondering what's going on. But I love being a police officer. It was a great, great 20 years of my life.
The city of Albany, New York, the capital city of the United States. And I was up there in Albany for a brief while in the mid-1980s. But I never ran into any of your colleagues up there. I almost never get pulled over. Kathy's for just a moment. We're talking about all the different things that we've got on the air and what is happening with our company. And obviously there always comes a time when good things have to give way to great things. And our company, ConservativeNationMedia.com, is growing like a Texas farm. That is why our main man, Michael B. Smith, now has his own show. Check out Culture of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. But don't be worried, he's the same Michael B. who you come to know and love, and you'll hear even more great interviews and just awesome conservative commentary from our very own main man, Michael B. Smith, on Culture of Patriotism. Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America enters. A police officer, now retired, who is the host of Daily Roll Call Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central here on conservativenationmedia.com. Kathy, give us one story from the good old days up there near the Hudson River in Albany. Give us a quick, police story. Everybody loves to hear them.
Well, I guess probably one of the funnier things is when I was brand new. I was working midnight, and I just happened to be parked. I'm sure you're familiar with what used to be 787 along the Hudson River. And I was looking up, towards the sky for some reason, and I saw like a red flashing light, and I was so new, and I got on the radio by mistake, and I said, you know, there's a red flashing light in the sky, and that was the end of it, because then it was like, oh, officer, could it be a UFO? Are you seeing a UFO? And it wasn't anything like that. It turned out that it was just the very top light of Corning Tower, which is the largest building. I'm sure you're familiar with that, you know, being what you used to do in the helicopter. And that's what it was. So, you know, I took a lot of heat for that for a long, long time. So, but there's a lot of stories, but I just wanted to give you a funny one.
Well, thanks for that. Now, what are you going to do? Kathy, thank you for being with us, and as always, I look forward to hearing you Friday night on Daily Roll at Kathy Center, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Eastern, conservativenationmedia.com.
Thank you, Duke, and thanks for the opportunity to be on. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks very much. What a great person Kathy is. What a great show that she has. I think that you really need to tune in. I think you're going to like it. More of your calls and more on the second anniversary edition of conservativenationmedia.com. Radio Free America coming up right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. This is the Wednesday, October 30th edition of Radio Free America and the second anniversary of our small company, Conservative Nation Media, Inc. And, of course, that music, well, you know what that means by now. That's time for On This Day in the Civil War. 150 years ago, our country was fighting really one of the worst and biggest civil wars in modern history. And this is from the Civil War Day by Day, an almanac by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. October 30th was a Friday in 1863, 150 years ago today. The shuddering thunder of guns echoed over Charleston Harbor as the federal artillery blasted Fort Sumter. Elsewhere, skirmishing occurred at 14 Mile Creek Indian Territory near Opelousas, Louisiana, at Ford's Mill near New Bern, North Carolina, Catlett Station, Virginia, Sailorsville, Kentucky, and Leaper's Ferry on the Holston River in Tennessee. Unconditional Unionists of Arkansas met at Fort Smith, naming a representative to Congress. Well, that was the way things were. You know, by this time in the year, back then, armies could not really maneuver in the wintertime, and they would kind of hunker down and go into what was known as winter quarters. And that's why we did not have any winter battles to speak of during the war between the states, or, you know, as some people refer to the Civil War as the unpleasantness. And I think that that really is about right. 718-305-7176 is the number. And we are celebrating our second anniversary here. I'm celebrating this. This is comes from Politico via the Drudge Report. This moved just a couple of hours, less than 2 hours ago, actually. President Barack Obama's job approval has dropped to an all-time low, according to a new poll released today. A new NBC News Wall Street Journal survey shows that a mere 42% of Americans approve of Obama's job performance, down 5 points from a poll conducted in early October. The president's disapproval rating stands at 51%, tying an all-time high for Obama. In all, 41% of respondents say they have a less favorable opinion of the president since the 16-day government shutdown, compared to 21% who say they have a more favorable view since the shutdown. The Affordable Care Act, which is also known as Obamacare, has made headlines since the flawed launch of healthcare.gov on October 1, and the poll shows that the website's glitches might have raised concerns about the entire law's tenability. 40% say they are less confident in the law based on what they have heard about it in the last several weeks, while 50% say the last few weeks have had no influence on their confidence in the law. Well, it hasn't had any influence on my confidence in the law. I am not confident in that law. That's all. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, now the actual gist of it is beginning to come through and is beginning to become clear to the American people. Here is the deal. Unless you have a waiver or unless you have an exemption, which the president gave out to a lot of his friends, there are only four. You can either go on Medicaid, Medicare, or one of four types of insurance. Before this, there were literally thousands of health insurance plans available all over the country. You could buy them from Blue Cross Blue Shield in your state. You could get them from all these other companies, Cigna, Aetna, United Health. They all, and there were dozens of plans offered by each company. Now, and the reason that so many people are losing their insurance, there are only four types of plans that the companies can offer. You have, I think they call them the bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans, and they are all a lot more expensive, and even if you're healthy and even if you don't want to have health insurance, you have to buy them. You've got to buy one of them. The deductibles are very high. The monthly premia are very high. And that is, you know, that's kind of the personification of the left-wing view of the way things ought to be, which is we in the government know so much better than you do. We are so much smarter than you. Not only are we the smartest guys in the room, we're the smartest guys in the country. We're the smartest guys in the world. We're the smartest guys of all time, and we're never wrong about anything. So you just do what we tell you to do, and everything is going to be fine. Otherwise, we're going to fine you, and on top of that, you know, as Nancy Pelosi famously remarked about 2 years ago, they may actually put you in jail if you refuse to buy health insurance. When you're in jail, when you're in prison, you get health care of a sort, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's probably not all that good. About 25 minutes now after the top of hour number two. Incidentally, this weekend, Saturday night or Sunday morning at 2 o'clock, we fall back to standard time. In other words, at 2 o'clock in the morning, it is supposed to become 1 o'clock in the morning. Don't forget that. You know, I'm glad that they do it on Saturday night. You know, you might miss church. You might undersleep. I don't know. I think in the spring, when we spring ahead 1 hour, you might miss church. But this way, you get an extra hour of sleep. That's one way of looking at it. When I was coming across the North Atlantic on the Queen Elizabeth II in 1975, you know, it's a 5-day crossing, and crossing the North Atlantic on something like the QE2 is a tremendous and fabulous experience. I mean, I had a wonderful time. I played a little roulette. It is the only organized gambling that I've ever done. I think I came out a little bit ahead. I don't know, you know. The food, of course, was sensational. I mean, it was awesome. It was incredible. Every meal was just absolutely wonderful. And I met some utterly lovely people, just wonderful. It was a fantastic time, absolutely a fantastic time. And it was one of the greatest things. And they would publish, this was before the Internet, everything was printed, but they would print up an agenda for the day every day, and it would be under the door of my cabin in the morning when I would wake up. And they even had a little sort of radio station going on the ship. It was wonderful. And every day at 2 a.m., it would say clocks stopped for 1 hour. That was to accommodate the westbound movement across the time zones. And if you're going to come back to the U.S. from Europe, that is the way to do it. You know, airplane flight, bang, you know, you have to adapt to the changing time zones in a matter of hours as opposed to 1 hour a day for 5 days. Just wonderful. Absolutely fabulous time. 718-305-7176 is the number. And we are celebrating the second anniversary of conservativenationmedia.com. Started off with my friend Michael Smith doing something called Texas Cane Nation Radio. And Michael, you know, he asked me not to play any of the outtakes or any of the clips from his first show. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to make him, you know, here's the deal, Michael. You give me $5 or I'm going to play him, you know, next week or something. I don't know. But he said that he was very, very nervous during his first show, and he was extremely concerned it wasn't going to go well. And I said to him, look, you know, everybody, sure, people are going to get nervous. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just do the best you possibly can. That's about all that there is to it with this and with everything else. But we do have some great new shows that are going to be starting soon. We'll be hearing from Matthew Opalisky in a short while. Matthew, next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, will be debuting at conservativenationmedia.com. And that will be at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. His show is called The Liberty and Constitution Community. Liberty and our Constitution are very, very closely related, obviously. So, and Matthew is quite an expert on the U.S. Constitution. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to want to hang out for that thing. Momentary break coming up here. And then more of your calls and more of this second anniversary edition of conservativenationmedia.com. Now, we all know, of course, that one of the worst things that can possibly happen to an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it. That is, if you can recover from it at all, because very often the victims cannot. The idea is to don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today for LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7, 365, there really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. Going to take a brief break, 29 minutes to go in this edition of Radio Free America. More of your calls coming up. Don't go away.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Penny Lane, there is a bar showing photographs. And every head he's had to match to the town. And all the people at Fullerman's go stop and say hello.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
The little children laughing him behind his back.
I agree. I think that would be very good. When was the last time you ever heard of a liberal saying, yeah, America, go? Absolutely. I've never heard of any such thing. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America, the second anniversary edition of ConservativeNationMedia.com. So we've been around for about 2 years, but now I want to introduce you to Matthew Opalisky, who will be hosting 1 week from tomorrow night, debuting 1 week from tomorrow night, the Liberty and Constitution Community, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Matthew, welcome aboard. How you doing, guy?
Good evening, Duke. How you doing this evening? Happy anniversary to not only yourself, but to the network. It's kind of interesting that you're 2 years old and we're going to be debuting a show next week that it's going to be, yes, pro-liberty, pro-constitution, but also we're going to do a lot of Second Amendment talk. So we've got 2 years and we got Second Amendment, so there's a lot of twos going on there.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit. Yeah, what do you think? You're an expert on the U.S. Constitution. I mean, I've read it, but you have actually taken some very, very serious classes concerning the Constitution. What do you think is the most misunderstood thing of the U.S. Constitution?
Misunderstood? Well, I'm going to throw it right out there. You know, everybody seems to say, well, there's a separation of church and state. I mean, that's the big. Did you hear that? How many times during the course of your talking to folks who are in politics and in the know, and well, think they're in the know? First thing somebody will throw out there is, well, there's separation of church and state. And you can say, well, okay, where would that? Where would I find that in the Constitution? And they're, well, the First Amendment. Okay, well, where? Show me the text. It's not there. So that's like the biggest misnomer would be that there's some kind of separation of church and state. And while there is that text in a letter from Jefferson, it had nothing to do with keeping elected officials and government officials from relying on their religious background to make decisions. Basically,
right.
One way I could look at it would be, imagine you're sitting in whatever room you're sitting in right now, okay? You are sitting in a room and it has a roof, I'm going to assume. So let's pretend the roof is God. On the left wall is family. On the right wall is civil government. On the other wall would be self-government. And then the far wall would be church. So you've got four walls, each with their own separate government, because, I mean, there is a church government structure. I mean, the Bible lays it out. The Bible also lays out things that you should govern on yourself, which would be self-government. Then there's civil government. And then there's God up above. So that's where your separation is. Let me put this way. If you're looking at the wall that has church and the wall that has civil government, they meet in the corner. That's not the separation that there is. The separation is at the ceiling level. Okay? That's where everybody thinks separation should be, would be, is if you look up at the ceiling. Well, you know, where the ceiling meets the wall, and they say, well, God is up there, and you should never interfere with government. That's not how it was intended at all. The separation should be at the far wall where self meets civil government and where church meets civil government. So, maybe that's not the best explanation of it, but maybe we can address that at maybe, you know, in one of our shows down the line. But the separation of church and state definitely is not in the Constitution, but lots of people like to say that it is, but it's not there.
Now, the First Amendment, among the First Amendment lists several freedoms, and the First Amendment says, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor abridging freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble, to petition their government for a redress of grievances. Now, it seems to me that in the First Amendment, you have what's known as the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause, and it seems have been over-interpreting the Establishment Clause and under-interpreting the Free Exercise Clause. Is that you see it?
That's exactly right, and one thing that I would look at and I would say, well, just because a group of nine individuals in robes said it doesn't make it true. Okay, they're men, they're women, they're human, and they're allowed to be wrong, and a lot of times they are. If there's a ruling that comes out of the Supreme Court which does not make law, which is kind of interesting, you know, we sit there, and how many times have you seen this, whether you watch the pundits or you don't? I mean, I try not to watch the political pundits on the Alphabet Networks, but, you know, of course, as a political junkie, sometimes I get caught doing it. If there's an important case coming out of the Supreme Court, you know, it's like people park out there, there's rallies, the news cameras are there, and it's like everybody's sitting there waiting for the Supreme Court to tell you what the law is, right? Isn't that what the feeling is? Well, the Supreme Court doesn't make law. All they do is interpret it, and a lot of times, they're wrong. Case in point, the Affordable Care Act, okay? And, you know, I don't want to maybe beat this horse to death right this second, but all I need to know is that the Affordable Care Act was a Senate bill. For that, in and of itself, the law cannot stand because the Constitution says that bill should have started in the House. If it's an appropriation, if it's a spending bill, it had to originate in the House, and the Senate can amend it, but it cannot be a Senate bill. So if it's a tax, if it's a revenue-generating bill, which it is, that's how they defended it in court, and we had Justice John Roberts that sided with the administration to say that it was legal. Again, that's just his opinion, and he's wrong. It's a Senate bill. For that reason alone, it should have been thrown out. Not to mention that it totally oversteps Congress's authority in Article 1, Section 8, where Congress gives, there's a specific list of things that Congress can do, and health care is not among them. So if it's
called the enumerated powers, correct? The enumerated powers.
Article 1, Section 8 lists a group of things Congress is allowed to do. Mint coins, okay, create a postal service, such and such. And like I said, these are things that, you know, we can get into the specifics of, but nowhere in there does it say health care. So they're not allowed to do it. It
doesn't say education either.
Well, no, education's not in there. Department of Energy's not. There are so many things that we have in our federal government that are illegal, that are not. There is absolutely zero authority for it. Yet it happens because Americans don't understand the Constitution, don't know the Constitution, don't follow it, don't care, elect people who don't care about it, and then we sit there and we wait for the Supreme Court to tell us what the law is, and unfortunately, that's why the system is broken. So, yeah, there's so many facets to get into with when you look at, if you wanted to look at just the Constitution and the things that are legal, and the things that aren't legal, all those 800,000, what were they considered, non-essential employees, not only were most of them non-essential, they were illegal. The entire CDC is illegal. The entire Department of Energy is illegal. And people think, like, oh, my God, that guy sounds so radical. Well, no, I'm not radical, and I'm not a revolutionary. I just want to restore what was. The document worked for a long time, up until such time that we started to get away from our founding. That's a sore subject with a lot of people who think that, you know, it's just a bunch of, you know, dead white guys, and, well, that document, you know, is 200 years old, so, you know, it doesn't apply today, and there's a whole cadre of folks that want to have a constitutional convention, and, you know, I talked about this a little bit the other day, and I'm not so much thinking that I'm in favor of a constitutional convention, because, well, if this is what a lot of people don't realize, the initial constitutional convention back in 1787, their only job was to amend the Articles of Confederation. That was their only job. They were not to come up with a new document. There was no constitutional convention to come up with a new constitution. The initial constitutional convention far exceeded their mandate. So there is no way on earth I would want to see us go to a convention again, because I don't trust the 34 legislatures that it would take in order to create a new document. We're knee-deep or even hip-deep in liberal muck, and I don't know that it would be able to be stopped if we had a constitutional convention.
Well, it could be scary. I guess I wonder what exactly we have to do to get the attention of those people in Washington, because they're not paying attention to us.
Well, I've often said if you want to change the game, you have to change the players. So you look at somebody, and, you know, I'm going to throw out a couple names, and I don't care if I'm stepping on toes. People like McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, Reid, whether you're Lib, you're Dem, doesn't really matter. If we were to retake the Senate, and we already have the House as what I would call, I'll tell you right now, I'm a registered Republican. Not always proud of these guys, but I am a registered Republican. So when we retook the House and we put a guy like Boehner in charge, okay, Boehner's been in Washington since the early 90s. He is part of the problem. So to
That's
put
right.
a man like that in charge, we're not really, you're not changing anything. All we did was went from one whack job in Pelosi to another whack job, in my opinion, in Boehner. He's not, look, has the Republicans in Congress in D.C. done anything that, as a Republican, I can be proud of here recently? And I, when I say recently, I'm talking over the last 20 years, and my answer would be no. They always cave. They always back down. And then when they are in power, they spend like drunken sailors.
So if you want to change the game, you have to change the players. How do we do that? We have to get good people to run. We have to educate voters on electing better people. That's, I mean, of course, that sounds really easy, doesn't it, Dave? I mean, you know, I know both you and I are involved locally in Republican politics, and it sounds like, oh, my God, that's a great plan. We should just go and do that. Well, I guess part of doing that is what you're doing on the radio and what I'm going to be doing on the radio is just trying to teach, not teach, but just talk to people, and hopefully they'll grasp it. I mean, when you're looking at having somebody understand, you know, what our founding documents and what our country was supposed to be like and what it could possibly be like again, you could show them, but you can't take them there. They have to get there on their own. So hopefully what I'm going to try to do is show people that there is a righteous way and it can work. All you have to do is walk down the road a little bit and get there. And then while you're walking down the road getting there, take 10 or 15 people with you, and hopefully they'll take 10 or 15 people, and maybe we can turn this whole turn it around, because we're so far from where we should be. We're in a boat, and we don't even know what dry land is. We're so far out in the water drifting. It's sad. It really is.
I think you're right about that,
Matt. I would never give up, but it's just sad when you think about it.
Matthew, we're going to put you in charge of protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. How about that? You're in charge now.
I'll give it my best. You know, I'll go down swinging if I go down, and hopefully we don't go down. Hopefully other people stand up.
You're going to be fine, my buddy, and I can't wait until 1 week from tomorrow. And that would be Thursday, the 6th of November, at 10
7.
O'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community. Thank you, my friend.
All right, have a good one, Duke.
You too, pal. Talk to you soon. All right, always a pleasure. Robert Garding is waiting in the wings. We're going to take a brief break, and then Robert, the host of New Wise Conservatism, Saturdays on conservativenationmedia.com, will be joining us, so you stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backslash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the
country.
When
I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I
want
to
be
a...
I
want
to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org.
A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Books on conservativenationradio.org.
So tell, baby, tell.
Here, welcome back to the penultimate 9 minutes or so of Radio Free America on this Wednesday night, October 30th, the second anniversary edition of conservativenationmedia.com. And joining me now, Robert Garding, the host of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. Hoosier, what's going on out there in Indiana, Robert?
Oh, absolutely nothing. Today, it's been cold, and well, actually, it hasn't been cold. it's been kind of rainy and foggy all day, and it's kind of warm outside, actually.
Oh, lucky you. It's only 56 degrees in Delaware, which is far too cold for me. Now, Robert, like me, and I know this because you and I are friends, and I listen to your radio show assiduously, like me, you understand that the media in this country has a bias. They have an agenda. They are at least as interested in getting a political agenda completed as the Democrat Party is, and that's whose side most of them are on. What do you think, if anything, should or can be done to make sure that the American people realize that they're getting a jaundiced and a prejudiced and biased view from the media when the media is supposed to be dispassionately reporting fact?
Well, I don't think I've really heard the media tell us anything that was factual unless it helped their side. It's been quite a long time. This whole thing with Obama and his lying to the American public about what Obamacare was going to do to all of our health care and stuff like that. If he would have been George Bush doing this, he would have been crucified over it. I remember that when 9/11 happened and Bush was told about it, and he was talking to the students in that classroom, and he waited for a few minutes before even saying anything. He got crucified for waiting.
I'm not sure what they wanted him to do. They certainly didn't want him to use military force against the enemy, but I digress.
Well, you know, at least there for a little while, he had the support of both parties. But the thing that is going on right now is that not only is not Obama listening to the American people, but the media isn't either. And they don't seem to have any desire to do so.
No, I think that that's absolutely right. And, you know, as I have said repeatedly, I have worked in this industry for 40 years, and it is clear to me that the vast majority of people who call themselves journalists are actually not journalists. They are rather agenda-driven political operatives working as journalists. And that is a big difference. And that's why I think the majority of the American people don't trust what we hear and read anymore. And this is a very, very sad state of affairs. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I actually do. I haven't really been in media for as long as you have, but I have been in printing for, since 1976. And it just stuns me that so many in my chosen profession of printing will print out newspapers that tell absolute lies about everything except when it fits their agenda, and nobody says anything about it.
Yeah, that's about right. The left has held the media in this country. They've held the media, to some extent the unions, but to almost completely sealed up the academy in this country, the schools and the unions that control the schools. And, you know, when you've got two of those three things under your control, you can really change a society. Maybe not overnight, and certainly not overnight, but, you know, over a 15 or 20-year period. I mean, this country today is hardly recognizable from what it was 25 years ago, demographically, socially, culturally, economically, certainly, politically. It is really very, very disheartening. What do you have on tap for this Saturday on the New Wise Conservatism radio show?
Well, I have been really busy this week, so I haven't gotten too much of anything yet. The only thing that I've been doing is following this trial of sorts, and I'll put that in quotes, trial of Sebelius and her grilling of this, of Obamacare, and how, you know, they're actually asking some of the right questions of her, but when she goes off on a tangent and says stupid things, nobody calls her on it. And that's probably what I'm going to talk about, a lot of that.
Very
and then, and then there's a couple of people, old age I think is getting to me. A couple
too.
Of the people that I really like, Soward, I can't think of his name now, but one of my favorite people, wrote a good column this week about Obamacare and what it's doing to this nation. And he talked about in it how in the 1920s, a good 50% of our Congress were one-term people. They'd serve their term and then they'd go home and live their lives. And he says, and he's saying what has happened is it's turned in, our government has turned into a big business, a big corrupt business where your politicians are becoming lifetime politicians. And he says you can't do that and still have a government that still serves the people.
No, that's absolutely correct. You're right. And, you know, one of the issues and something that we certainly talk about here at Radio Free America from time to time is the fact that the income tax system in this country is what enables the career politicians because they can use the tax code to reward their friends and to punish their enemies. And before the 15th or 17th Amendment was ratified in 1913, the average congressman and senator served something like 2.1 terms. Now they serve an average of 5 terms. Are people in the U.S. House of Representatives that have been there for 40 years. I mean, come on now. That's just too long.
Well, we had like Ted Kennedy, who in, I think, 68, I think it was, killed that girl in his car, and then he served in Congress until he died.
Yep.
And if he'd have been a Republican, that would have never happened.
That's absolutely,
and,
Robert.
And
time to wrap up this program, but thank you for being with us tonight, my friend, and I look forward to hearing you on Saturday.
And happy anniversary, your birthday. Of Conservative Nation Radio. I am very proud to be part of this.
Thanks very much, Robert. All right, that will do it for this edition of Radio Free America. I'll speak with you next Wednesday. Have a great week, everyone.